Truth to Be Found is a ministry of the Middletown Church of God in Cable, Ohio. Join us as we journey into the Word of God in search of ultimate truth.
Well, if by chance you're listening to this service this morning in a nice warm climate, wherever you may be, you're very fortunate. Because we're having some difficulty in our weather this morning, but praise the Lord, we've had a lot of faithful people who've taken the time to come out, and we're grateful for that. Just be very careful as you make your way home. Did you notice a lot of wonderful prayer requests and prayer and praises this morning? How wonderful it is to be witness to many of the miracles and the way God's working in our own congregation and those that we love and our friends. It's always a blessing to hear that. This morning, let's begin as we usually do with our opening. Please follow along with me. Open my eyes so that I can see your truth. Open my ears so that I can hear your voice. Open my mind so that I can understand your word. And open my heart so that I can receive all that you want me to receive. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with open and receptive hearts. Ready, Lord, to hear a message, a word, Lord, that you would have for us. And we pray that you'll help me to get out of the way so each individual here can receive exactly what you want them to have. Go with us this morning and always help us to be loving and kind. And help us to always reflect what you have given us in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many of you, when you read the title of today's sermon, got the person that we're going to be talking about? How many? I see a few hands back there. A hairy judge captured by an evil beautician. A little play on words there. But some of my earliest memories in Sunday school, they had to do and featured the man in our study for today. Like most little boys, I was captivated by a real-life biblical superhero. Today we're going to be talking about Samson. This is Sunday edition. And today we're going to investigate the life of a man named Samson whose strength was in his hair, but whose weakness was in his character. Our story for today takes us to the book of Judges. And it actually covers three chapters, Judges 13 through Judges 16. But our main focus is going to be eventually on Judges, the 16th chapter, verses 17 through 22. But first, our story begins in Judges 13. I want to read verses 1 through 5. Again, the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. So the Lord handed them over to the Philistines to oppress them for 40 years. In those days, a man named Manoah from the tribe of Dan lived in the town of Zorah. His wife, unable to become pregnant, and they had no children. The angel of the Lord appeared to Manoah's wife and said, "Even though you have been unable to have children, you will soon become pregnant and give birth to a son. So be careful. You must not drink wine or any other alcoholic drink or eat any forbidden food. You'll become pregnant and give birth to a son, and his hair must never be cut, for he will be dedicated to God as a Nazirite from birth. He will begin to rescue Israel from the Philistines." Well, our story begins in the way, if you've read the book of Judges, which I'm sure most of you have, our story begins in the way that most of those stories begin of the different judges. And it begins again, the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. There's crucial points that we need to understand about the book of Judges and about the story that we tell. Israel had an unfortunate predictability when it came to idolatry and sinning against the God of heaven. Many of these sins stem from something that they neglected to do that God specifically told them to do. He told them, when you come into the land of Israel, drive out all the inhabitants thereof. And they failed to do so. The reason for their refusal is still ringing true today with our refusal to take sin out of our lives. It's a picture of that. When the book of Judges, when they sinned against God and they refused to kick the people out of the land that were supposed to be there, it's typical of us today refusing to take the sin out of our lives when God tells us to do so. And so that's the picture that we get here. There were three reasons why the Israelites refused to kick the people out of the land and to drive them out. Number one, it was easier to do so. In other words, why go to all the trouble kicking all these countries and nations out when we can just leave them there? You know, every time that they would go to battle, even if it was a small, small nation that they were driving out, there was always a risk of losing life. And they weighed that out and they said, you know what, maybe it'd be better for us to just leave them. It seemed easier and safer to allow them to remain. Secondly, at that time, these nations were considered a nuisance, not a threat. Have we heard that before? You know what? I know I'm doing something wrong in my life, and it's a small thing, and I don't consider it a threat to my faith. It's true. God has delivered every nation to Israel that they confronted. He said, every step that you take, I'm giving that to you. But you have to take that step. Every nation that you go up against to drive out, I will be with you. And you'll drive out that nation. But you have to make the effort to do it. And they didn't. They said, you know what? They're a nuisance. Not really a threat at that time. Number three, Israel considered some of those nations that remain to be useful for tribute or slavery. In other words, they use them the same way they got used. Never do that in your Christian life. What is our golden rule? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Do you think they wanted the Egyptians to use them and to treat them in that way? So why would they attempt to do that to someone else? It goes against our basic belief and theirs. Israel seemed anxious to make life easier for themselves, but not more meaningful. We have to be careful, not just to lead an easy life, but to lead a meaningful one. And that's what God desires us to do as well. You can see how these tactics backfired on them. These lands and these people that are coming up against them, many of them were nations that they were supposed to drive out. At the time, God gave them the power to do so. But then they got stronger and stronger in the land, and they became problems. And if only they would have done what God instructed them to do, they would have been fine. No place in God's Word does it suggest that it will be easy living for Christians in a broken world. And that's what we live in. We live in a broken world, in broken societies. Our schools are broken. At times, homes are broken. And we need to understand that a Christian's not going to have an easy time in a broken world. It's true that some sins may seem harmless right now, but down the road, they will always prove to be strong and dangerous. We need to always keep that in mind. Remember, all sin is regarded as rebellion against God. So if there's something in your life right now this morning that God says, what about that? What about that? God is telling you that because He sees that as rebellion in your life against Him. And God wants a perfect relationship with you. Nothing standing in the way. That should be reason enough to deal with it and to get it out of our lives. The idea that any sin in our life can be beneficial is ludicrous. Sin will never be beneficial in the life of a Christian. The Israelites created what we call a cycle of sin. They would sin. They would go into bondage. They would repent, and they would be delivered. That continued on. That's the reason why they needed judges, because periodically they would fall into that same cycle, and God would have to deliver them. So today we see one of those judges, and that's what they're called, judges. Judges were people that God raised up as leaders, and people followed them because they possessed special gifts or charisma, such as outstanding military prowess, wisdom, or in the case for today, physical strength. The text in chapter 13 reveals the majority of the restrictions that were given to the parents of Nazarites. The Nazarite was a special person that God chooses himself. That picture that we see in the 13th chapter of the book of Judges is an appearance of Jesus Christ. He was the angel that came down, that talked to them and told them. They said, "What's your name?" He says, "Wonderful." That's the picture that we see of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. His name is beyond all names. His name is Wonderful. Well, Manoah, he was interested. He wanted to find out what it was, but they told him that you're not going to be given any more instruction than what we gave your wife. And if you want to go back into Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, that's where it'll tell you about a Nazarite. You can read it for yourself. So many times, you know, you and I, we are almost compelled, it seems, to call on God for a miracle or some kind of new message. And God says there's none needed. Why? Because everything that I have for you is right here. He says, you don't need a special message from me. Just like he told Manoah, you don't need a special message. Just look it up. See for yourself. Instructions on how to raise a Nazarite was present in the Word. Well, it's important for us to understand this too, because Nazarites were not allowed, were restricted from certain things. There was no wine or alcoholic drink. There was no eating of forbidden food. His hair was never to be cut. A razor is never able to come in contact with his hair. And number four, they can never, ever come in contact with a dead body, whether it would be human or animal. Any of you seeing a problem already? Well, we'll get to that when we see this. If you want a heritage, if you want a heritage that will continue on in your generations to come, what's this show us? Manoah was his father, and his mother was the one that the angel came through. They said, now we're going to begin this heritage with you, because you're going to become pregnant. You can't drink anything that you shouldn't. You can't eat anything that you shouldn't. You see, it began with the parents. In the same way, it begins with the parents of children today. How do you want your children to live, and the heritage that you leave begins with you? You can't just build it into your kids and expect, no, we don't live like that and we don't do that, but we want our kids to. It doesn't work that way. It begins with us, the parents. That's an important thing for us to realize. Manoah didn't get his answer. And this is especially important for us today, because we are, like I said, continually asking the Lord for signs and messages and miracles when all we need already has been given to us in His Word. Well, our story continues, and it goes rather quickly here, because Samson grows up and he becomes a man. It shows us as he's grown into his tremendous strength. But it also shows us that he shamed his family with his disrespectful speech and his attitude and his lustful antics. Now let me name for you the heroic, the strength involved things that he had pulled off here. He killed a lion with his bare hands. He slayed 30 Philistines. He caught 300 foxes and tied torches to their tail, torching the Philistines' crops. He killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. Already we see a problem, don't we? He carried the Gaza gates on his back outside of the city. He tore down the Philistines' temple to their god Dagon, killing several thousands of people. Well, those are some of the things that he did, and we'll hit some of those on our way here, because we're going to talk about Samson's life. In Judges 14, Samson spots the woman. Oh, he spots her, and he thinks she is the berries. Let's read verses 1 through 4 of Judges 14. One day when Samson was in Timnah, which is a Philistine city, we already see problems here. Samson seemed to want to go where he wasn't supposed to go. He liked the Philistine life. And when he was there in a place he shouldn't have been, he saw a woman he shouldn't have saw. One of the Philistine women caught his eye. When he returned home, he told his father and mother, "A young Philistine woman in Timnah caught my eye, and I want to marry her. Get her for me." Well, we got to listen to our parents, don't we? His father and mother objected. "Isn't there even one woman in our tribe or among all Israel that you could marry?" They asked, "Why must you go to the pagan Philistines to find a wife?" But Samson told his father, "Now, how respectful is this? Get her for me. She looks good to me." And we begin to see that disrespectfulness coming through, don't we? His father and mother didn't realize the Lord was at work in this. But we'll explain this a little later. Creating an opportunity to work against the Philistines who ruled over Israel at that time. Later, when he returned to Timnah for the wedding. Now, this is going to be later on. Now, here's some time that passed off between that time. He went to Timnah before this time that we're reading here. And he met a lion. His parents were with him. I think maybe he was going to show them the woman and to introduce them or something of this nature. And while he was off from his parents, a lion attacked him, and he killed the lion with his bare hands. Now, any of you who watch the Nature Channel, you would know just how much of a feat that would be to kill an adult lion. And it said that it just ripped it like nothing. Samson had great strength, and the lion died. Later, he's going to return for the wedding. He returned to Timnah for the wedding. He turned off the path to look at the carcass of the lion. What's happening here? What's he not supposed to touch? What does he do? He turned off the rat path to look at the carcass of the lion, and he found that a swarm of bees had made some honey in the carcass. Not only here is he going to defile himself, he's going to defile others as well. He scooped up some of the honey into his hands, out of the carcass of the dead lion. He scooped it up in his hands and he ate it along the way. He also gave some to his father and his mother. Do you think they would want anything to do with that? They ate it. But he didn't tell them that he had taken the honey from the carcass of the lion. Samson said to them, "Let me tell you a riddle." Now, at this point in time, he's going to the Timnah, and he has a wedding party. See, they get from the young men of the village, and they gave him 30 men and said, "Here's going to be your friends. They're all Philistines, and they're going to be your friends that they're going to take you through this wedding." Wedding was 7 days. And so he wanted to be a part of the festivities, and he wanted to be somebody that was hip, I guess, during that time. He says, "Let me tell you a riddle." If you solve my riddle during these 7 days of the celebration, I will give you 30 fine linen robes and 30 sets of festive clothing. This is a challenge. But if you can't solve it, then you must give me 30 fine linen robes and 30 sets of festive clothing. All right? They agreed. Let's hear the riddle. But we all know probably what he's going to talk about, his trip there. So he said, out of the one who eats comes something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet. 3 days later, they were still trying to figure it out. They cannot figure out what this could possibly be. Now, let's understand, these people were not rich. They didn't have the money for this stuff that they were going to owe Samson when they couldn't come up with this riddle. So the best way to do it was through the wife. Remember, she's a Philistine, not an Israelite. They came to the wife and they said, I'll tell you what, we'll make a deal with you. You find out what the riddle is, or we'll burn down your house with you in it. That's the real deal, isn't it? So, this was how it all worked out. So they threatened her, and he was a Nazirite, never supposed to come in contact with these things. And we're going to see this all the way through. Different things you're going to see that he is neglecting of his responsibilities. Well, the men threatened his wife, and she goes and gets the answer from Samson. She bugs him and bugs him and bugs him all the days that were remaining. Finally, he told her, okay, I don't know why I need to tell you. I didn't even tell my own parents. But Samson knows she's the only one who knew. So we go on and we find out that Samson, his riddle is given. And when they come to it, and Samson says, okay, what's the answer? And they gave him the answer. Well, I didn't have it written down here, but I'd really like to read you the way Samson replied to them after he gave the answer. Samson replied, if you hadn't plowed with my heifer, you wouldn't have solved my riddle. Isn't that classic? If you hadn't plowed with my heifer, you wouldn't have solved the riddle. Then the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully on him. He came down to the town of Ascalon, and he killed 30 men. In other words, what he's going to do now is he says, I'm going to get your festive clothing. I'm going to get it off your own people. And he went and he killed 30 of the Philistines, got their clothes, brought it back, threw it down. Well, obviously, from that time, he went back and lived with his parents. Well, the father of the bride that he married thought that he hated the wife. So he gave her to another man. Story keeps getting better, doesn't it? So we can move on to Judges 15. The Philistines go to, after what he had done here, Samson's wife was given to a man in the wedding party, and Samson is furious, and this is when he takes the foxes and burns their crops. So we can see this is escalating. And the Philistines, remember, they still are in rule of the Israelites. The Philistines are still in charge. And the Israelites are still in tribute to the Philistines. So they go to the Israelites. And they say, you do realize, don't you, that we still own you. And do you realize how hard we can make it on you if we want to? We'll make a deal. You bring Samson to us tied up, give him to us, everything will be cool. So they said, done. They went to Samson, explained to him, We're done unless you go to them. So he says, let me clarify this. If you bring me to them tied up and give me over to them, then you're good. He said, yes. Well, let's read what happens. Judges, the 15th chapter, verses 14 through 17. As Samson arrived at Lehi, the Philistines came shouting in triumph. Remember, they had him. He was tied up. But the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon Samson, and he snapped the ropes in his arms as if they were burnt strands of flax. And they fell from his wrist. Then he found the jawbone of a recently killed donkey. Okay? This is the story we always hear about, isn't it? This is the one that we get excited about. But if you're going to grab the jawbone of the donkey must be what? Dead. Not supposed to touch anything that's dead. Well, he's violating once again his Nazirite vow. But then he found the jawbone of a recently killed donkey. He picked it up and killed 1,000 Philistines with it. Then Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey, I've piled them in heaps. With the jawbone of a donkey, I've killed 1,000 men. When he finished his boasting, he threw away the jawbone. The place was called named Jawbone Hill. Well, once again, Samson did what he was not supposed to do. Now, these are all clues. We need to remember, Samson is on a downward spiral here. Samson is literally out of control. We get to chapter 16. Samson visits a prostitute in Gaza. That's the first thing that he does. Once again, we see Samson going headlong into negative things. Now, this is significant. Why? Because where he committed this sin, that's where he's going to be taken when they gouge his eyes out. Right back to that very place of Gaza. Keep that in mind. Here's the important details of chapter 16. He falls in love with a woman by the name of what? Delilah. Oh, this is the love of his life. This is just like that other woman. And of course, she's a Philistine. Everything is so jumbled up. And what you're going to be thinking of all the way through, and I want you to, why is God working with him? He's doing all these things that are wrong. He falls in love with Delilah. The Philistine rulers, after he fell in love with Delilah, came to Delilah, and they said, now listen, you know this guy. And you know what he means to us. We will give you 1,100 pieces of silver if you will discover the secret of his strength and hand him over to us. That's 28 pounds of silver. She's going to be wealthy, wealthy, wealthy. So, of course, like any woman who's in love, sure. So, this is the picture that we have. This is what's going on. Delilah attempts three times. We all know that. First time, she attempted with bowstrings. Because he said, she kept asking him, what's the secret of your strength? If you love me, you'll tell me. He says, bowstrings. If you tie me up with bowstrings, I'll be like any other guy. She does that. She says, Samson, the Philistines are here to get you. He breaks the bowstrings. Next is new ropes. He says, if you tie me up with new ropes, there's no way I can escape. Samson, the Philistines are here. Pew, breaks him loose. The next one was the one that I thought was awfully weird. He says, if you will tie the 7 braids of my hair and braid them in a loom, then I won't be able to escape. I'll be weak like anybody else. I don't know what difference it made making his hair into a rug, but the fact of the matter is, that's what she did, and pew, pew, he knocked it out when she told him he was upon him. Well, She has to beg now in verses 15 and 16. Then Delilah, this is chapter 16, then Delilah pouted. How can you tell me I love you when you don't share your secrets with me? You've made fun of me 3 times now, and you still haven't told me what makes you so strong. She tormented him with her nagging day after day until he was sick and tired of it. Well, we all know what happened. Finally, she tells him. Let's read verses 17 and 18. Finally, Samson shared the secret with her. "My hair has never been cut," he confessed. "For I was dedicated to God as a Nazarite from birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as anyone else." Delilah realized he had finally told her the truth. So she sent for the Philistine rulers. "Come back one more time," she said, "for he has finally told me this secret." So the Philistine rulers returned with the money in their hands. We should all know, right, that we don't tell our secrets to our enemies. We should all know that we're wise with who we make our company with, that they should be people that God approves of. Many people have asked, why did Samson continue with her after 3 times she tried to hand him over to the Philistines? By now, Samson's concept of a relationship was so distorted that he enjoyed the disrespect and the danger that came with Delilah. He got into that. For some reason, that danger was just something that drove him. It's not so different than us in our time. When we entertain ourselves with what we know is dangerous, that's the draw. And deep down we wonder, could I get caught here? Could someone find out? And most important question of all, would God really allow me to take the fall? Is God really going to let me fall away in this situation? Be found out? Be destroyed? Will God allow that to happen to me? I think that may have been Samson's downfall. What was Samson's downfall here? Why would he continue with this woman? Because when Samson broke all these rules that he knew he wasn't supposed to break, nothing happened. Nothing happened. When he visited prostitutes, nothing happened. When he touched dead animals, nothing happened. He went into, when he fought them with his wife and he went and got those 30 garments, and the Bible tells us he went into a vineyard and destroyed the vineyard. He's not even supposed to touch grapes. That was forbidden. Samson did all of these things that God said you cannot do. But he did them and he got away with it, just like we do. See, we think that we've gotten away with some of the things that we've done in our past. We haven't. And one time or another, that's going to come up and that's going to be face to face with us. If not now, in the age to come. Always make that right. Because if not, like Samson, it'll deceive us and be our destruction. Would the Spirit really leave me? He thought. Deuteronomy 6 verse 16 says, "You must not test the Lord your God as you did when you complained at Massa. When they couldn't find water and they found out they felt like that they were going to die of thirst, they asked Moses, 'Is the Lord really with us?' God says, that tested me. At different times, they tested the Lord. Matthew, the 4th chapter. Luke, the 4th chapter. We remember that. We remember that Satan tempted Jesus. Jump from the pinnacle of the temple. The angels will catch you. You know they will. And Jesus says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Are we getting dangerously close to putting the Lord to test? Look into your own life. Are you getting dangerously close to that in your life? Just pushing and pushing what's right or wrong in your life. Samson did. In Judges 16:19-21 reads, Delilah lulled Samson to sleep with his head in her lap. And then she called in a man to shave off the 7 locks of his hair. In this way, she began to bring him down, and his strength left him. Then she cried out, Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you. When he woke up, he thought, I will do as before and shake myself free. Now, I want you to remember here, this has been agreed upon by many commentators to be the saddest thing in the Bible. The saddest phrase is what we're going to read next. When he woke up, he said, I'll do as I have before. I'll shake myself free. But he didn't realize the Lord had left him. Look into your life. Make sure you're not where Samson is at this point, and you just simply don't realize that through the ways of my living, the Spirit was no longer with me. So the Philistines captured him and gouged out his eyes, and they took him to Gaza, the place where he was with the prostitute, where he was bound with bronze chains and forced to grind grain in a prison. Samson's careless living and foolish choices has now cost him everything. And the same will happen to us. This message today is a warning. You may have gotten by in the past, but don't be overconfident when it comes to sin. Sin will capture you and deceive you. But it's amazing. Not only is the saddest verse in the Bible here, but also one of the most encouraging. What does it say in verse 22? But before long, his hair began to grow back. Why is that encouraging? Because that was put in there to show us that we have a loving, forgiving God, that even when we sin against Him, even when we fall, He's there. There to receive us back. We can know that in our hearts. For anybody who may be here who's going through a difficult time because of some things that they've done, some things they've allowed to happen in their lives, and they think, God will never love me again. This verse is for you. God does love you. As Samson's hair begin to grow back, the Spirit of God will begin to deal with you and will be in your life and will deliver you when you need deliverance. What did Samson do? Samson got his revenge. Judges, the 16th chapter, beginning with verse 23. The Philistine rulers held a great festival, offering sacrifices and praising their god Dagon. And they said, our God has given us victory over our enemy Samson. When the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, our God has delivered our enemy to us. The one who killed so many of us is now in our power. half drunk by now. The people demanded, bring out Samson so he can amuse us. So he was brought from the prison to amuse them, and they had him stand between the pillars supporting the roof. Bad idea. Samson said to the young servant who was leading him by the hands, place my hands against the pillars that hold up the temple. I want to rest against them. Now, the temple was completely filled with people. All the Philistine rulers were there, and all were about 3,000 men and women just on who were watching on the roof as Samson amused them. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, that prayer that we talked about in Sunday school this morning. Oh God, please strengthen me, and just one more time. You know, Samson, the prodigal, had just come home. I believe at this time he realized what a fool he'd been, how he would allow his sin to overtake him and to direct everything God had done. God had to do through acts of his sinfulness and disobedience, but God nonetheless fulfilled his will. Oh God, please strengthen me just one more time. With one blow, let me pay back the Philistines for the loss of my two eyes. Then Samson put his hand against the two pillars that held up the temple, pushing against them with both hands. He prayed, let me die with the Philistines. And the temple crashed down on the Philistine rulers and all the people, so he killed more people when he died than during his entire lifetime. God is going to accomplish his will in your life. If you have at some time or another come to an altar or a prayer like this, or knelt by your bedside and given yourself to the Lord God Almighty and offered to fulfill his plan through your life, God will do it. It's just a question of, are you going to try to do it his way or yours? What God want? God wanted revenge on the Philistine people. He got that in the end. But Samson, because of his choices, lost so much by doing it his way. Judges 16:31. It tells us later his brothers and other relatives went down to get his body. They took him back home and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol, where his father Manoah was buried. Samson had judged Israel for 20 years. This teaches us something, and these are some steps that we all should know, but we should keep them in mind. The five steps to get us off the road to ruin and to head back down the road to recovery. Very quickly. Number one, acknowledge your fatal flaws. What's your spiritual soft spot? What area of your life has most potential to ruin you? Is it lust? Coveting? Revenge? Unforgiving spirit? Anger? Lying? Psalms 38 verse 18 tells us, I confess my sin. I am deeply sorry for what I have done. Look in your life this morning. What is there that your mind will go to? The Spirit of God is working this morning. Your mind will go to that thing in your life right now that can destroy you if you don't take care of this. Secondly, admit you need help. Until you admit that you're vulnerable, you will never experience victory. Once again, we go to the book of Psalms, the 34th chapter, verse 17. The Lord hears His people when they call to Him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. God is able. God is able. Number three, avoid temptation. Don't put yourself in situations where you know you are vulnerable. Remember what God told Cain. Genesis, the 4th chapter, verse 7 says, "You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master." Number four, ask for help. Ask. Acknowledge, admitting, avoiding is not enough. You also need to ask for help. The person who thinks that they need nothing and no one is sadly mistaken. Judges 16, verse 28, our very text for the day says, "Then Samson prayed to the Lord, Sovereign Lord, remember me again. Oh God, please strengthen me just one more time." And then ask Christians for help. People that you trust. People that you can bring into your life. And they can give you support. Finally, number five, build God's truth in your life. Always do this. Be with God's people, read God's word, and put it into practice. Psalms 119, verse 11, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Well, those are five ways that maybe will help us along the way. In closing, our lives are not perfect. We all understand that. Sometimes things get crazy, and we may say or do things that leaves us to wonder, can God ever really use me in a meaningful way? Seeing that I'm less than God's word instructs me to be, can God ever really use me? Today's lesson answers that question. It's true. Samson's out-of-control lifestyle and his human desires made life difficult for him and in the end led to his suffering and untimely death. His lifestyle did make it difficult for him, but not for God. Because God is able to use us in whatever fashion He chooses. And in whatever way we go. Even when we are aware of God's superiority over us in every way, it's still not enough to comprehend His ability and His control. In other words, God works far above our minds. In this story, you would think this man's out of control, and he was. He was out of control, but God was still able to use him and fulfill His purpose in his life. God's hand is not shortened in any way. He's able to fulfill His work and will in us, even amidst our imperfections. Ephesians 3, verse 20 says, "Now all glory to God who is able, through His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." Praise God. Glory to God. We all have a choice. A choice to do things God's way or a choice to do things our way. You have that choice this morning. Maybe God is putting that choice right in front of you now. He's saying, do things my way. God's way is a path of blessing. Even though we all must endure trials and difficulties without which we would never grow spiritually. But God's way is the way with least personal heartache. Personal heartache are sorrows and hurts brought on by disobedient living. It doesn't need to be that way. This is where our choice comes in. And this is where our way comes in. God is still in control. But the objective is achieved through hardship and suffering brought on by disobedient living. I appreciate each and every one of you who've come out this morning to hear this message. And I hope and pray that the thrust of this message allows you to look into your lives, to anything that may be leading you in a path of hardship that need not be. Because God is saying, I will be with you. We'll accomplish this goal. But get the things out of your life that needs to be out. God this morning is revealing this through Samson. A man who in the end was brought down by his character. Let that never be said about you. Let's stand. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Lord and God, we come before you this morning, a people who are acknowledging our imperfections. We know, Lord, at times that we bear off the path, we veer into our own ways, but Lord, never fail to bring us back. Always allow us to have that choice to come back. Always give us the crossroads that allows us to work our way back to you. We want to accomplish your will, Lord, but we want to do it your way. We don't want it to have to be through hardship, heartache, and sorrow. Thank you for this message, Lord. And may it make a difference in the way we live this next week to come. And forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Page 472.
Says here, would you walk with him within the narrow road? Would you have him bear your burden, carry all your load? He'll do that. He'll do that for you. But what's the next phrase? Let him have his way with you. Have you been struggling against the Lord lately? It seemed to be a tug of war during the day of God's will and mine. Today, lay down the rope. Come to him and say, I surrender. I want your way, not mine. I want to feel your blessings in every single thing that I do in my life. Don't be like Samson. Don't allow hardship, heartache, and sorrow be your theme in life. Let him carry all your load. Be what he wants you to be, which is your very best. This morning, you can make that choice. Or, you can walk outside these doors and pick back up the rope and start pulling again. Choice is yours. But our story shows us what's best. May God richly bless each and every one of you.
Would you have Him make you free and follow at His call? Would you know the peace that comes by giving all? Would you have Him save you so that you need never fall? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you. Service, labor, always at your best. Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your whole when you
back to page 469.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Make me after thy will while I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master. From sin, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow.
As the Spirit of God moves this morning, won't you be one to say, I'm next? I want to leave here and leave all of it right here. And that can happen no matter what you're going through, no matter what's happening in your life. It may seem so out of control, but our story tells us, even though this man was completely out of control, God was in control. God's still in your life. God is still working in your life. No matter what you've done, you can turn back and say, let's move towards you, Lord. Take me this morning. Want to sing the remainder of the song? If you have a need this morning that you just simply want to talk to the Lord about, some have come and done just that. Stay on this side of the altar or in the seats, and I'll go ahead and let you deal with the Lord and talk to Him yourself. If you want me to speak with you or senior pastor, come to this side. But most likely I'd like to guide you maybe after service into one of the rooms so that we can talk privately. It's just so difficult to hear up here. So, don't overlook the Spirit's moving. This is the time that He's given you to to react, to respond. God bless.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy Spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me.
This message has been brought to you by the Middletown Church of God in Cable, Ohio. Senior Pastor Robert Enstein. Assistant Pastor John Enstein. Online at truthtobefound.org.